Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is AM 580, and it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, March wheat opened at 9.85, up 2 on the open. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 9.58, up 4.5 on the open. May, 9.58, up 2.5. July, 8.06, down 1.5. September, 7.94, down 17. December corn opened at 4.19, up a quarter on the open. March, 4.34.5, up down a half rather. May, 4.45.5, down a half. July, 4.52, down one. September, 4.50.5, down a half. December, 4.49.5, down 1.25. March of 2009, 4.54, down 1.5. And May at 4.56.5, down 2. January beans opened at 11.49, up 3 on the open. March, 11.66, unchanged. May, 11.81, up 1.5. July, 11.83, up a half. August, 11.50, down 5. September, $11, unchanged. November, 10.52, down 2.5. January, 10.54, down 3 on the open. December soybean meal opened at 322.50, up 130 on the open. January, 322, up 40. January soybean oil opened at 46.20, down 6 on the open. CME livestock, December live cattle, opened at 92.35, up 37.5 on the open. January feeders, 103.70, down 10. December lean hogs, 55.30, up 12.5. And February bellies open at 89.75, down 30 on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Well, for, I don't know, the last several weeks, we've been looking at the U.S. dollar, and we considered it sort of the linchpin, as it were, to some degree, about commodity prices. And this morning, we got a CPI with a bigger-than-expected 8% jump in November, and we have the U.S. dollar coming out of the doldrums, and on my screen, trading now at 77.34, which is at the high end of its range for the day.
Yeah, and I think if we step back a couple days, Dave, that the CPI report this morning helps confirm that the Fed and what they did Wednesday by essentially opening up the spigot and becoming a short-term lending facility with a bunch of other central banks around the world to provide lines of credit and direct loans to the major investment banks around the world. By doing this, they've injected a huge amount of liquidity directly into the market so that these investment banks don't have to participate in the credit markets or the CDOs or the SIVs, all those things we've been talking about and hearing about. And what that is that's inflationary. And yes, that is friendly for commodities, and the commodities, especially crude oil, rallied, I think, $4 or $5 on Wednesday as a result of this news. But what the market also saw the following day was this is also putting a bottom in the dollar, because that printing of money is inflationary, but it's also telling the world, the Federal Reserve and the other central banks of the world are saying, we're going to pull this thing out, we're not going to let this get any worse if we can, and the dollar is still the reserve currency of the world. And I think that really spoke volumes in the world markets, and that's what's got February gold within $2 an ounce of testing its 50-day moving average, probably the most inflationary commodity out there in the markets right now. And it's had a very weaker trade here on Thursday and Friday, and now, you know, sizably below $800 and getting close to testing its 50-day moving average, which is a substantial support line. And you see the dollar rallying, the gold weaker, and the bonds weaker as well, driving yields higher. And I think that's where we're probably going to have to sit here and decide as a group in terms of the fund community whether we're really going to put a lot more money into the agricultural commodities or commodities for that matter. And that's something that our FCM came down here yesterday and visited with us for a couple hours, and that's what we talked mostly about was, are these funds going to put that much more money into agricultural commodities now that the Fed and the other central banks have done this and essentially put the dollar at a 7-week high and allowed it to clear its 10-week moving average, which is a good sign that the at least a short-term low is in now for that.
And why I bring all this up is there's a lot of speculation that index funds are going to reallocate money to corn and maybe add some money as well. And I'm wondering if that might not be true.
And you're not alone. I think that's what we found out yesterday with Steve and his visit here. From an FCM perspective, he's got two great big opposing ideas out there. This market is really, really done. It technically needs to cool off. It's getting to the point where it's not a buy. That's one large group of traders' mindset. And then there's the other mindset that still promotes the idea the big funds are going to pull money out of base metals and energies, and they're looking to increase their agricultural exposure. And I think it was just this morning, Bloomberg reported that the California Pension Fund, it may be looking at moving $29 billion out of stocks and bonds and shifting them into private equity, real estate, commodities, and other investments that would not be stock and bond related. And I would say, if you look at the theory behind it and how most major funds work based upon the theories, those things are probably on hold or at least being looked at as to whether they really want to do that now that the Fed has done what they've done.
All right, then. Let's take a deep breath and back off of the dailies and kind of look at the bigger picture. And let me ask you, are we then likely to be in a period of consolidation between now and the January reports, barring any strange weather down in South America?
Yeah, I think weather becomes the top of the list here, and we see that in the wheat market now. We see the bull spreading acting very nicely here, where the March and the Dees are staying up, but the July is down hard on improved precip likelihood. Weather in China is still bullish. You know, they still have some significant dry areas in central China. The rice situation in the world is still very, very friendly as far as too little of supplies. Europe is getting precip, and they've got an acreage increase underway there, and you know it looks like a pretty decent crop. But we also saw that in South America, and yet their weather didn't, give them the type of increase that they were looking for. So, 2008 here, because of the dollar turning, 2008 is going to be more supply side, whereas 2007 was more demand side, and probably the new energy bill kind of promotes the same thing, where you're getting that 36 billion gallons of ethanol to be used and mandated by 2022, but $21 billion of that's going to have to come from sources other than corn, so that leaves 15 billion gallons on the table for corn-blended ethanol. That's supportive, but that does not give you the same mindset or frame of mind we had back in 06 and 07, I don't think, Dave. So, yes, weather becomes big, and gravity tends to take effect when you run out of buyers, and we're waiting for those trend lines. You know, we're really kind of on automatic pilot right now, is that if we break the 10-day moving average and the support lines, uptrending support lines in the corn, beans, and wheat, then we'll pursue more sales. But right now, we'll let the technicals tell us what to do.
And where are you hedged at the moment?
Well, we're still at 50% on the 07 corn with all of that 50% cash, covered with bought puts in the March, and we've been rolling those up. And, it's been a point of contention with clients. They've been sending in good-sized checks to us to roll up March puts, but we have more than offset that with a very nice increase in futures and, in a lot of cases, an increase in basis. And I think that's where producers are going to probably see in Illinois and Indiana. We saw a lot of corn get sold, especially last week, in most locations. We think probably the spigot is done and the pipeline is going to be running relatively dry for the next 30 days. Between now and mid-January, the producers are sold as much as they're going to sell unless they see a big flush in the market here. So we like the puts from that standpoint because it covers us in case the funds get out and it covers us in case the futures market leads to more cash selling. So we like the corn puts to cover our corn sales. As far as 08 corn and beans, we're still sitting at 20 to 30% on both corn and beans. We've got calls underneath us on the corn, but we have nothing underneath us on the beans.
So you're looking then to re-own that corn. What about a vertical spread on that corn?
Yeah, we've done that. As soon as we made the sale, we've done the vertical on the corn. We would like to re-own the beans if we would get a break. We've essentially told our clients we can't sell any more beans right now for 08 until we get some calls bought back or some verticals underneath us on the already sold bushels. So that way we can cover ourselves in case the market rallies back up again, and that gives us the comfort level to make that next increment. But we know the acreage issue is still alive and well. The beans and corn continue to fight each other for the acres, and it's still a very big crapshoot as to how many acres we're actually losing in corn. I get a different opinion by our clients and our producers every week, literally.
Now, and where are we at? 2-3-2 on the ratio? And I don't even know if that means anything anymore.
I think it does. I mean, I think you're going to lean towards corn, I think, if you're in the heart of the Corn Belt, especially if you've been on corn, and most of your inputs are locked in for 08. So I think the ratio is pertinent. I'm still thinking that 2.6 level on the ratio will pull bean acres back into beans and not push, you know, any more corn acres into corn. So we think the 2.6 ratio, beans-corn, would give us a better look towards more beans and less corn. But even if you cut corn acres 3 or 4 million from last year, you've got a pretty sizable supply side still left over, even using this current year's demand.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. December corn at 419, up a quarter. January beans at 1150, up four. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. It's 10:01 Central Time.